Welcome to the Corporate Warriors Podcast. This is the spot where high performers learn how to create conscious career success without selling their souls. I'm your host, Fela Rosa, and today we're going to tackle a situation that way too many of your high performers out there know. It's working under a toxic boss. And specifically, we're going to focus on how to navigate those one-on-one meetings. So if your stomach drops each time you think about your weekly one-on-one, then this episode is for you. We're going to go through the 6 main mistakes that high performers make in the one-on-ones with their toxic bosses and what to actually do instead. And mistake number 6 is the most important one, because this is the one that will actually save your butt if things go completely south and you need to include a lawyer. So stick around until the end. Now, some of those strategy might be good overall. So even if you're not on a toxic boss right now, it might be really worthwhile to take a look at those different mistakes and see if you're doing them right now or if you can learn something from it. But specifically, I'm going to focus on how a toxic boss might use those mistakes against you and how to protect yourself from that. Now let's dive in with mistake number 1, over-explaining yourself. So sometimes the high performers just think they want to show how thorough their work is. But really, if you have a toxic boss, then the more you're talking, the more ammunition, potential ammunition you're giving to that person that might be used against you. In addition, it can look like defensiveness, which already puts you in kind of a corner, because why would you even have to defend your work and your thoroughness? So what to do instead? Be clear and concise. Yes, but stick to the facts and the facts only. Cut down to the facts that are actually important for your boss. So really think about your boss's perspective. They will probably need to defend the project in front of their boss. So what are the information that they need to be informed enough to know what you're doing and to defend potentially your project in front of somebody else? So your goal here is not to convince your boss of anything. Your goal is to give the facts to an amount that is necessary for them to understand where you're at. If you're running into an issue, come with at least 2 different proposed solutions how you would like to navigate it. And then you can either discuss together how to go forward or have your boss decide. That's it. That's how you protect your integrity without over-explaining. Full stop, not much more to do. Mistake number 2, seeking validation. I see that all the time, especially from you high performers. So it's really you hoping that your toxic boss will finally acknowledge you. And this is exactly the trap that you find yourself into, and which is also why high performers oftentimes do not quit their toxic jobs, because they want to get the validation first in order to move on. It's actually a really easy trap to understand and keep you trapped in, because your toxic boss might intentionally only give you a few breadcrumbs to keep you going, but never satisfy your need for validation enough to make you or to enable you and empower you to actually move on to something bigger. So what to do instead here? Really detach all of your worth from their opinions. It doesn't matter. Your worth is untouchable. And how do you finally understand that? This is where tracking your wins comes in. So this success journal should be seen just as important as your most important project that you're working on right now in your job. Do you hear me? This success journal is incremental, because no matter what environment you're in and no matter what you're going through in your private life at the same time, we all tend to downplay our own successes. And especially when times are rough, you need to have this place where you can go back to remind yourself that this is just a phase, that you're actually successful, that you're actually contributing a lot of value to the organization, and that your worth is untouchable, no matter what, for instance, this one performance review is saying about you. Okay, so this needs to be one of your number one priorities to stay sane in the long run, to understand your own worth, and to get paid your worth as well. Now let's move on to mistake number 3. It's emotional oversharing. Overall, not a good idea in corporate. This is not the place for being overly emotional. So you might think that showing vulnerability is actually a good thing. And yes, this can be a tactic to be used for yourself, just showing your humane side as well. However, if you're having a toxic boss, vulnerability is just another form of ammunition that you give to them. So really, if your boss is somebody that might weaponize your feeling against you, then this is a risky strategy and it's a mistake that you should not do. What to do instead? don't be emotionally vulnerable and oversharing all the time. Be emotionally intelligent. It's very different and need to be aware of the difference, please. So your deepest truths are not to be shared in the workplace overall. There's your journal for that, your coach, your therapist, whatever it is. Your workplace and your manager is not the person that you want to overshare with. The workplace is there to, yes, go in and celebrate those wins emotionally and sometimes share some vulnerability, but be very careful with being too vulnerable with a toxic boss, because this is how to really get a hold of you. Okay, so protect your sanity by protecting your emotions as well. Because if you don't overshare, nobody can use it against you later either. Mistake number four. To let them coach you. And this is really important here. Clear differentiation. If you have a great boss, your boss might be your coach as well. But your boss would need to have a really small ego and really have only the best for you in mind. And very often, once you're in corporate, you do have power dynamics going on. And on a subconscious level, your boss might be afraid of you outshining them. So overall, a coach should be external and independent to be truly and fully on your side. Okay, that's the first most important thing that you need to understand. So even if you have a great boss, subconsciously, they might still be afraid if you're really an amazing high performer. And it's not a bad thing. It's just that a coach is not your boss and your boss should not be 100% your coach. Okay, now let's dive in what happens if you let your toxic boss coach you. This is interesting because very often toxic bosses love to use mentorship to actually control you. They'll say something like, oh, I've been in a similar situation back then. Don't do my mistakes. Do this instead. And instead of actually helping you, they just use you as their spies, as their little manipulative agents out there. This is not coaching. This is using you. So really ask yourself when you get those pieces of advice, is this really empowering me? Is this really helping me? Or is this actually empowering and helping my boss and not giving me something that I can benefit from in the long run? Because coaching is something that will help you in the long run. Okay? And now what to do instead when you do get those little mini coaching sessions from a toxic boss? I would say just not accept them, say thank you, but reflect them in private, okay? Don't just take them one by one and do exactly what somebody says. You should never do that. You always need to reflect. What are the goals? Take a look deeper by zooming out so that you can see not just this one little chess figure, but the whole chessboard. That's how you play chess, okay? So choose what you take at heart and choose what you want to do for yourself, for your career, and while playing the game. Mistake number five, trying to fix the relationship. So if you feel like your gut is dropping before those one-on-ones, your intuition, your deep desire could be to fix that relationship and to actually love your one-on-ones again and have this great companionship with your boss. Because you just love fixing stuff, don't you? And coming up with an action plan. But if that's the case and you're sure that your situation is a toxic one, then rest assured that this is not a broken system. It's a manipulative system built up on purpose. So you cannot fix it because it's not broken. It's working perfectly fine for that toxic person. So what to do instead? Stop trying to fix something. Stop trying to be the hero, saving everybody. Focus on yourself. Focus on protecting your energy. Protect your boundaries and prepare for your next move. Mistake number six, the last one, not documenting your conversations and what's going on in your toxic workplace. A big, big, big one. Because let me tell you this, if things go south, it's their word against yours. And you will not be able to win against somebody that is in the hierarchy above you, or very rarely, okay? But overall, it's seldomly the case. So make sure that you document those difficult conversations. Make sure that you document what's going on. If there's bullying or harassment, document it. Write summaries after meetings and send them to the participants. Track patterns in your own little journal. Make sure that you understand what's going on. Keep your wins in your success journal. And if you're not sure, because something was really unclear to you, send confirmation emails. Write exactly what you understood, what your assignment is, and tell them that if they do not agree or if this is not what they understood, that they should reply within a specific time frame that needs to be one that is actually doable for a boss. So add a few days to what you normally would ask a coworker so that they cannot say that was like too short notice. And of course, they didn't have time to read the email. Okay, so make sure that you also do that strategically, but keep this track record. And then not only doing that, but then also screenshotting it and putting it in a document on the side so that you have it ready in case something ever happens. I've seen people basically not getting their severance package because they were not doing that. And when you don't have access to the system anymore and nobody puts your boss in question, you will not have any proof. So this is you creating proof, documenting what's going on so that if something severe happens, you have that on your side, either to talk through with the company, with somebody from the company, or with a potential a lawyer if need be. Of course, always make sure to stick to the current regulations. Don't do anything that is illegal. I would never advise you to do that. But as far as it's legally allowed, document what's going on, especially if you feel unsafe in a toxic workplace situation. So really, to sum up all of this, your workplace should not feel like a battlefield. But if it does right now, then you need to approach it strategically. There's no war to be won without strategy. Strategy, the word actually stems from war. That's when the word strategy got invented. And companies, corporations, businesses actually took that term over because in some way the different corporations and competitors are in war against each other, right? So make sure that you are strategic. This is what will help you to understand those patterns and to create a plan for yourself, a trajectory that can be within the company, but also could be outside the company. It really depends from case to case. Take a look at your little chessboard that is your company right now and think about what winning looks like to you and how you could get there. Come up with different trajectories to get there so that you always have a plan B ready no matter what's going to happen and that you are actually playing your game to win and not play somebody else's game. Okay, if this episode was interesting and helpful for you, share the episode with somebody that's currently in a similar situation and is not approaching it in a strategic way. I'm rooting for you always. Have a wonderful rest of your day. See you next time.